So it is amazing. So today we're going to speak about expectation. And this is an interesting question. I heard it the other day that there was a question about if God answers all your prayers in this moment, what would it look like? And I felt the same thing stirring about expectation. So what if your life works out the way that you're expecting in this moment? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be not so great? Or are we expecting for God to make it work out even better than we can expect? Are we in this moment sitting before Him going, Lord, I'm expecting you to do great things, even though I don't know how it's going to look? And more than that, am I expectant that even in this moment, the things that might not be feeling so great, He's actually working for the better of what He has for me in the future? So are we still expectant? So the word expectant is eagerly anticipating something exciting. That's the definition of the word. But here's the thing. When we meet and know the person of Jesus, it's not just something exciting. It is the greatest thing that can happen to you. Amen. And the beautiful thing about it is if you have the Holy Spirit, it means it can be any moment. And not just any moment, but every moment. So we can be expectant for God to constantly be busy doing the absolute greatest thing that can happen to me every moment. Isn't that amazing? So for us to be expectant, there's three things that we need to know. So first, who does God say He is? Second, who does God say you are to Him? And then thirdly, what does He say His plans for you are? I think if we've got a true belief in these three things, I think it's easy to be expectant. So let's take a look at the first one. Who does God say He is? And I'm going to run through these scriptures because there's a lot of them. So I am going to go a little bit faster through this so that I do not keep you guys here for the whole day. But if we look at Malachi 3 verse 6, we see He cannot change. In Numbers 23 verse 19, He says that He does not lie or change His mind. And then right through the Bible, like you will probably know some of these scriptures from heart, He speaks about being a good father. You do not have to look far. It is right through the Bible. In almost every of the books, you can find where God says He is a good father. In Isaiah 44 verse 24, we can see that He's our creator. He made us. And then right through Isaiah 43, Jesus is described as our only Savior. That whole chapter is just on that. So, not only did He save us, but He paid the highest price, the most expensive price that could ever be paid, He paid for us, despite being all of these other things. Isn't that amazing? And we're going to come back to this. But Psalm 54 verse 4, God is my healer. Jeremiah 10 verse 10 says He is the living God and everlasting King. And then the final one, Job 9 verse 10, we read, He does great things too marvelous to understand. He performs countless miracles. So He's a miracle worker. So I want to ask you guys, like, what's the miracles in the Bible that really stands out for you? Yoli, what miracle stands out for you in the Bible?
The resurrection.
The resurrection. There we go. Amazing. Yo, bringing life out of death. Beautiful. Yoli, what stands out for you? What other one stands out for you?
The loaves and the fish.
The loaves and the fish. Him multiplying something that doesn't make sense, but it was there. And even the leftovers were more than what they started with. Joe, what stands out for you?
The parting of the Red
Sea. Yeah, parting of the Red Sea. Making a way when there was no way out. Beautiful, beautiful. Esteban, what miracle stands out for you?
The Ark.
The Ark. God making a way, working it from the get-go in one man who had faith to build it, who's pretty much saved all of us. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Peter, what miracle stands out for you? Anyone, any miracle?
Walking on water.
Walking on water. Yeah, doing the impossible. Isn't it beautiful? So, you know what's interesting about this is, so we know he can. You know, we know about them. We know he can. But the question then is, are we still expectant that he will? Do we still have this expectation that God is going to do it? Because it's still the same God. He doesn't change. So do we still have this expectation, this belief that all of these great miracles that didn't make sense back then and still scientifically doesn't make sense, are we still expecting that in our lives? You know, are we expecting him to bring life out of the dead areas in our life? Are we expecting him to heal the brokenness that we have inside and are carrying with us? Are we expecting that he's going to make a breakthrough for us where we didn't think it was possible? Are we expecting him that in this moment he's placed me exactly where I need to be in my life so that I can grow to be who he wants me to be? For me, for my own good, so that my life can produce fruit. So the second one, what does he say we are to him? So Deuteronomy 7 verse 6. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. So to God, we are his special treasure. Not just a treasure, a special treasure. And I want to ask you today, if you needed to look after your special treasure, how would you look after it? You know, probably have people wash their hands before they touch it. If you allow them to touch it. You know, you'll give it a place of honor, a place to protect it, a place to look after it. But the thing is, you will also maintain it. If you take an example of a knife, you will sharpen it. There's a grinding. There is sometimes something that takes away so that it can be kept as a special treasure. In Ephesians 1 verse 18, he calls us his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. So if you could have looked after your own inheritance in this moment, how would you have looked after your inheritance? You have thrown it at the back of the bucky and parked out in the street and go like, if something happens to it, it happens to it. I don't think so. I think we would actually try and steward it. We will try not only to look after it, but to steward it well, meaning to grow it into more, making it sure it doesn't go lost. It's not just something without value, but it's something that we hold dear and we want to see become more to the future. And then, over and above, God calls us his children. And I think one of the things you've heard the most from parents is you cannot understand what it means until you're a parent. It's a thing of that little life. If you ask one of the moms here, one of the dads, it's, I would give up everything for that kid. I will do everything I can to make sure they don't suffer the stuff I suffered. I will give all of myself to help them not become a slave to the things I'm a slave of or was a slave of. You know, I want to give more. I want to have them be better than I could ever be. It's giving them everything. Well, that's what God says he sees us. His children, inheritance, prized treasure and special possession. Man, isn't that beautiful who God says we are to him? But now here's the question. But do we believe him? Like we hear this again, we see this, we read this. But do we believe him? You personally, where you're sitting now, do you believe that's how God sees you? Do you believe that's what he has for you? Who you are to him? No matter where you are on your journey, that is who you are to him. So if we do if we do know this, I really think we can be expected. I think there's merit for us to be expected, for God to do great things. And it doesn't have to be the way I expect it to be. I can be expecting for God to do something better, even though it doesn't seem to me like that in that moment. We can be expectant without expecting how it should look. And I think that's important. So in Isaiah 30, verse 18, and I'm reading this out of the Amplified Classical Edition. I don't know if you have it. AV, you guys are amazing. So bear with me. And therefore the Lord earnestly waits. And that means expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. And therefore he lifts himself up, that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, meaning happy, fortunate, and to be envied, are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. Man, isn't that a beautiful verse? Sometimes you got to go to the Classical Amplified, I'm just saying. I know it's long, but man, there's something about understanding the context of what was meant by that verse. It is absolutely beautiful. So, on that, his companionship, I want to ask this question. Have we realized that every single moment of our lives is a touch of the hem moment? And I'm referring to, you know, the biblical account of in the Gospels, where there was a woman who was sick for 12 years without being cured, never stopped or found health. And she only touched the hem and she was healed instantly. So do we realize that if God, if it's true what we just read of unbroken companionship, do we realize that means that every single moment of our life is a touch of the hem moment? Because the thing is, it was better for him to go so that he could send us the Holy Spirit. So listen to this. Romans 8 verse 11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to you mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So the same Spirit who could raise Jesus from the dead now lives in us. It means that Jesus isn't a person that we need to get to touch the hem of his cloak. It means that his Spirit is living within us. So we've got fellowship with him like nobody had with him when he was alive, living on the earth. It means that every second of your life, he is not only with you, but he's in you, working for the best that he has for you. And are we still in that place of expecting that great things continuously happening, even though we don't know how it looks? So here's the question. When I pray, am I expectant? Am I expectant that God hears my prayers? Am I expectant that he doesn't only hear my prayers, but he's interpreting it? He's standing in for me with the Father. Or am I expectant of it? Am I expectant that God will answer me? That's sometimes a hard one. It sounds so simple. But am I expectant that God is answering me? And then am I expectant that he's already busy working things to my benefit that I'm praying for? The same goes for when I open my Bible. Am I expecting to meet with him? Am I expectant that the great author of all creation is intentional in showing me something of himself, coming to minister to me about where I am in my life and what I'm hungry for, where I am, what I need to hear? Also, when I come to church, Do I come with this expectancy to meet with the person of Jesus? Do I come expectant to walk out again looking different than I did walking in? And I'm not just talking about a nice encouraging speech and I'm walking out and I'm feeling good about myself. I'm talking about coming in, not knowing what to expect, but knowing that when I walk out, Jesus will have done something in my heart that's never been done before. Giving me the opportunity to step into freedom, giving me the opportunity to step into more, giving me the opportunity to walk out and mean more to the kingdom than I did walking in. And am I living my life with this expectancy that God is busy in every moment? That everything is intentional? Am I walking with that expectation of all these things with the beautiful dreams that He has for me? You know, is He always constantly busy growing, pruning, purifying, healing, restoring, and equipping me for the role and the good works that He has for me? And this doesn't just include the big moments. It's not always walking into that miracle and there's a moment and there's stuff that doesn't make sense and now I look different. I think we can have an expectation for that. That does happen. But I think a lot of the times we miss the little miracles. Not because they're small, but because we see them as small. We miss the subtle, constant change that the Holy Spirit is working in my heart. Changing me subtly, without me sometimes even realizing. But walking in faith and seeing the fruit that's grown out of that. Are we still expectant for that? And I think the same goes for the equip that's coming up next weekend. Do we already have this expectancy of what's going to happen? Are we expectant that we're going to receive something of crucial value? Are we going to get together as one big body and one family to receive what we need to move the kingdom forward? Are we going with that expectation? Are we going expecting to be changed? Or maybe it just feels like a nice outing. Maybe we thought it's just going to be nice getting together with family. And it is. It is beautiful. And that in itself changes us. But do we have that expectation? Are we expecting to be equipped to walk into more? And for the guys who can't go along, it's not an exclusive thing. For we are one body. But even us that aren't able to make it, do we have this expectation that God is going to do something for His church? That the guys who go and come back is going to have something more that we are going to be able to reap the benefit of. Because as one part of the body grows into more, so too do we have the opportunity to walk into more. Are we expecting that God is busy equipping us to take the kingdom forward in Bethlehem and the Eastern Free State and the world? Are we expectant of what God is doing in my life? Are we expectant, or have we grown docile? Have we grown to a place where we go, it's just emotions. It's just the way we do it, so I mean, just keep doing it. I am who I am. It is what it is. Or do we need to come back to that place of going, Your Lord, I actually want to be expectant. And I do feel we've got an opportunity. And last week we spoke about repentance. Reactance. Responding. So, sorry, all the R's. I'm not good at R's. So I actually feel like God is actually opening something for us now. So responding doesn't mean I was way on this side and now it's I need to give my life again to the Lord. And sometimes it is. And I do want to create space for that. But we will in a moment. But I want to challenge you guys in the area of responding to something that the Holy Spirit is doing, is acknowledging that a living God is busy working something in my heart. It is a standing up for what God says. It's a, yes, Lord, I feel You. I acknowledge that You're alive. And I want to come before You to allow You to do what You want to do in my heart. That's responding. That's the heart of it.